Ancient Babylon had a plethora of gods and goddesses. It worshipped the moon, the sun, and the stars especially, none of which are ever biblical to be worshipped. Heeded for signs and seasons indeed, but not worshipped. That is the very doctrine carried over the flood, found by Shem's grandson and reinvigorated at the Tower of Babel, and even found in the church today. Mystery Babylon. The story is told different ways, but Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod, in Shinar, Babel, who was also his mother in legends. Yep, yuck. Understand, she was a consort or harlot to the gods. This harlot claimed she was the moon goddess of fertility, who hitched a ride on an asteroid. You know, those are only $50 per hour from the moon, so very believable. Not. And then she arrived on Earth. She has many names in many cultures, worshipped as Isis in Egypt, Irene, perhaps in Greece, Diana in Rome. And her statue remains at the Vatican today, yes. Of course, they call it Mary, but that is the ancient goddess found 500 years before Mary was born in archaeology, in occult temples, worshipped as the ancient goddess. This image is used by the Catholic Church as Mary, yet it remains the ancient goddess, not Mary. She is the harlot of Babylon, and her image in many homes around the world, and an entire church system. Why? How could anyone be so deceived? We were told as much as this harlot of Babylon is called out by Daniel, Jeremiah, Revelation, and 2 Esdras, to say the least. Anyone else notice that John the Revelator went to heaven, at least in vision, and failed to mention that heaven had a queen? Well, Enoch doesn't either. And the reason is, heaven has no queen. Not in the Bible, except in rebuke, in false claim, for this harlot of Babylon. How does she survive through all of these ages? Why on earth would people include her, the harlot of Babylon, in their worship? We can follow her track through history, at least in part, well enough to know who she is today. Where does she operate? What is her city in the end times? What are the signs of her worship, which are the opposite of the Bible? So much so, Revelation warns us to come out of her, my people. But the world is drunk with the wine of her fornication or idol worship. It's time to know and understand whom this is, because she is rebuked in the end times by the prophet Ezra, which we will cover in full. Then we track her from Babylon to America. We'll test that. Certainly there are elements, but my friends, that is wrong. We have covered in this series, Will America Disappear?, proving America is losing its power as the second eagle head, while the third and final head devours it from within and rises to worldwide power. That's happening right now, but the harlot remains to the very end. For the identity of her city is not found in America. Though as the second head, you will find elements of Babylon the Great there. But one could make such case for many countries around the world. The Bible is not elusive on this. It tells us from where she rules, just as it tells us from where the beast rules. Yet so many scholars miss this. We will not. It's time to discover whom Babylon the Great is and its prophesied fall. First, 2 Esdras, then we fully identify her seat of power, and this will enlighten most who have never heard this. Yet Scripture has always highlighted this. Babylon the Great will fall. Who is it? Let's expose this now. Welcome to Answers in Second Esdras, produced by The God Culture, the most enlightening series on YouTube. Let's jump right into it. Let's locate Babylon the Great, and then we will support this with abundant scripture. We already covered two chapters of Second Esdras, which really serve to nail this down already, largely. No, this map is not proof. It is a reflection and recap of the research from this whole series, as well as our Lost Tribe series, though we will support it scripturally through the rest. Watch those for full support, as we are not creating a 50-hour video here, though this will be long. And if you want full proof, you have to do your research. We have, and we put it right there for you to review. Otherwise, don't pretend here in comments that you have any interest in knowing when you just watch this mapping and try to debate. That's called ignorance, and we won't allow it. Our channel, our rules. Respect them, or you will be muted. But now for the mapping of Babylon the Great, following her through the ages. This is awesome. It's time to follow the track of Babylon through the ages. We know the geographical Babylon is of no consequence today, nor after its fall to Persia. However, the Bible speaks of Babylon the Great City, Mystery Babylon, Religion, and the Harlot of Babylon in continuation through the very end times. After King Solomon's death, about 930 BC, the Kingdom of Israel split into two nations, north and south. Around 750 BC, northern Israel is taken captive into Assyria. Scripture is clear, all were taken and none returned until the very end times, according to abundant prophecy. The southern kingdom of Judea remained. Follow the red arrows to Babylon, which migrated in part already. At the same time, northern Israel is completely removed from their land. Assyria brought in replacements who would become impostors, emulating Israelites, even calling themselves so and practicing a false infused religion. These were from Babylon and surrounding areas such as Media, stolen by Japheth, not Shemites, Persia, or Persians are Farsis or Pharisees, who became their priestly order. Around 600 BC, the southern kingdom of Judea was taken captive into Babylon. Though its enemies moved in temporarily, they did not lose their land like the northern kingdom did yet. The first temple was completely destroyed. About a century later, the first wave of migrations of the southern kingdom returned to their homeland of Judea. Others would follow over time. These would begin construction of the second temple. However, they were impeded by the same Samaritan Babylonian imposters. Two kings later, they finally complete the construction. After multiple attempts with Persia and Greece, the Babylonian Samaritans and their Persian priests, or Farsis, Pharisees, attack Judea politically, behind the scenes, opposing the temple and their presence. They even attempted to convince Greece to attack and take over the temple, but true history, from Qumran especially, tells us Alexander and those after him, all the way through the Greek reign, never did so. Greece fell to Rome about 168 BC. The temple had not been defiled, leaving a vacuum of power in Judea. In 165 BC, the unthinkable occurred, just as David predicted in Psalm 83, and Daniel in his 2300 days prophecy we cover in this series. The Babylonian Samaritans and their Persian priest Pharisees attack and conquer the temple and Judea. They usurp the priesthood permanently, and that remains. They are still the head today, but erroneously. We call them Jews, yet they are not even Hebrews. Much happens in the next 200 years as these Babylonians and their Persian priests, called Pharisees, Farsis, establish synagogues and hijack the worship of Yahuwah, just as they repeat with the Messiah's followers. They hunt, persecute, imprison, and even kill or have killed the true ecclesia of Messiah, just as they did with him, chasing them out of their land, which they had already controlled for 200 years at that point. This is before 70 AD, even according to James, Jacob, when the temple is destroyed and all future migrations from Israel are the Pharisees and Babylonians, not lost tribes. With the northern kingdom already gone into Assyria and migrating even further east as well in a second migration, the southern kingdom now leaves Judea in a mass migration into Africa. We cover this in our Lost Tribes series, and we will get there in this series as well. About 70 AD, Rome cracks down on the Pharisees and Babylonians who rule in agitation, just as they do today, just as they did with Messiah. They push them out of Judea, mostly north, and the temple is destroyed. Note, the temple was already defiled in 165 BC and no longer of any consequence, which is why Messiah launched his ministry in Bethabara, Qumran, among the temple priests who were exiled there, where John the Baptist lived and operated, and Bible canon was kept, the only one found in history. Though they will agitate in the revolts like that of Josephus and Bar Kokhba, or Son of the Star. Yeah, we know what star. They migrate north in waves into Turkey, where the seat of Satan is, and the synagogue of Satan operated. Yeah, that's them. Greece, and all the way into the Russian steppes. These are not lost tribes. They are Babylonians and Pharisees. This is why Babylon is mentioned after it has already disappeared. The Bible follows its people just as it follows Israel's people, not the land. It is in prophecy, but generally, when it's talking about Israel in the last days, it's talking about its people returning. Now, its people, the Babylonians, the Pharisees, are the agitators and conquerors who did not stay in Babylon. Thus, this is their track. Follow the red arrows. In 324 AD, Constantine, the not-so-great, the Persian priest or Pharisee of Mithraism, now Nicolaitan, religion founder of Catholicism as a state religion, and Roman emperor, all in one, relocated the seat of Roman power to Turkey, to Constantinople, the city on the seven hills. Yes, you heard that right. This beast is obsessed with fulfilling prophecy so much so they choose cities set on seven hills in which to operate, just as the Vatican is, Mecca is, and Jerusalem is. This is the construct of the Eagle Empire, Daniel's final fourth beast, and also Daniel's final empire in the feet of iron mixed with miry clay. That's what we see here. That's the infusion. Meanwhile, centuries later, the Babylonian Pharisees, migrants into the Russian steppes, do what they always do, conquer and infuse their religion as the state religion, forming what is said to be the Khazarian Empire, supposedly, which converted to Judaism all at once. This is well documented in history, yet contested with Nuh-uh, whatever they may have called it, though well recorded, they certainly did so there, until around 965 A.D. Migrants begin into Europe, especially Iberians of Iberia from the Russian steppes, who establish the new Iberian Peninsula in Spain and Portugal. These Babylonians and Pharisees migrate into Europe, once again infusing their religion, their language, changing ancient languages, even changing the Bible, changing the Hebrew language, and all the while pretending to be Israel because they once conquered it as the opposite, as Babylon. Even Martin Luther fell for this, though he knew they were liars and wrote a book calling them so, even by title. By the 1500s or so, mass migrations occur all over Europe from these Babylonians and Pharisees. They especially install their Babylonian banking system in order to take control of governments. This included the British Empire, to which they became the ruling monetary power, funding wars, especially by the time of Napoleon, when the Rothschilds, or Bowers, really hijacked the British economy. This is the first eagle head of the final empire. The Babylonian-infused British Empire conquers North America, installing the infrastructure for the rise of the second eagle head, the United States of America, to which it will hand over its power around 1952. Through colonialism, backed by the Pope and the Synagogue of Satan, in which many explorers and pirates, traders, slave traders, were Jews in fact. Not all Jews, but specifically of this sect of the Synagogue of Satan. These Babylonians and their Persian Pharisee priests conquer much of the world, installing their preferred brand of the Nicolaitans religion worldwide. Not only were they accompanied by Jesuits, who are Jews and Catholics both, the synergy is there, but many of the explorers, such as Christopher Columbus, were actually Jews. But they are not done with Israel. They want this land so badly, the Pope created Islam to take it over. Columbus wanted to steal the gold of Ophir of King Solomon in order to rebuild Jerusalem, according to his own words. This would become the aim of the 1666 cult of Kabbalah as well, within the same construct. But in 1918, through the British Empire, the first eagle head, they not only start two world wars, but they conquer Palestine, the biblical land of Israel, exactly as Ezekiel described in the story of Gog of Magog in prophecy. This will set up the end times mentions of Babylon the Great from Jerusalem, as they will set up their rule of the third and final eagle head there, just as the harlot of Babylon within them operates. From 1948 to 1952, these Babylonians and Pharisees in their mass aliyah, they record, bringing their people into Israel to occupy, are the very allies of Gog of Magog, a 100% match to Gog of Magog, and an 80% failure to Isaiah's prophecy of the return of the lost tribes of Israel, which Ezekiel is clear does not happen until this force, Gog of Magog's allies and powers, 5/6 of modern Israel, is destroyed. This is Babylon the Great. Rising right now before our eyes, the final seat of power for the third and final eagle head, which is destroyed as Babylon the Great is destroyed, and not before, in Jerusalem, modern Israel, where the beast will rule from, where he will declare he is God, in the third temple in Jerusalem, already rumored, yet not mandated by Yahuwah in Scripture ever, but for the beast to rule from. And this is where the harlot of Babylon's seat is as well. Her people, the Babylonians and Pharisees, operate and live all over the world. But this is her seat of power, next to the beast. Even President Trump declared Jerusalem the capital. And so many are excited to see Babylon the Great rise to its full power. Or as one viewer said, make Babylon great again, right? It shall. It will bring the world to ruin, largely as is intended. And then it shall fall in about a century by the hand of Yahusha, consumed with fire from his mouth. This is Mystery Babylon Religion, Babylon the Great, and the Harlot's City. And we are experiencing this rise now. We could spend quite a bit of time on this one, but we do so in our Lost Tribes series. So we've already done this. You can fully follow that there, as it is supported not just with scripture, but valid history of this event. Babylon and surrounding areas indeed migrated into northern Israel, replacing the northern kingdom. They took the land, replaced Israel as impostors for the north, and the south knew it, though they remained autonomous. They also infused their gods, false gods, with the worship of Yahuwah. And today we call this infusion Judaism. Yes, that's fact, which is, according to the Jewish Encyclopedia, even Phariseeism. That is Babylon mystery religion with many offshoots and other infusions, such as Catholicism and Islam. Even today, they continue with newer movements like Messianic Judaism, which is applying Pharisee leaven not just to the Old Testament anymore. No! Now they're expanding it into the New. Awesome! No, thank you. That would include other movements like the, and I'm just going to call it out, Black Hebrew movement, fueled by Pharisees in content. And you can see it. It's very obvious when you look at their so-called doctrines. They actually have a legitimate claim, as the Southern Kingdom did, in fact, and we prove in our Lost Tribe series, migrate into Africa. But that doesn't then change all Africans into Lost Tribes, but a very tiny portion within who has been decimated and scattered all over the world. It is a sad story in many ways, but it does have a happy ending. This is why it is so unthinkable that a Samaritan in Messiah's day could even do good thus the parable. Samaritans were the enemies of Israel. They were Babylonians, Assyrians. Yes, when the Bible says the beast is also called the Assyrian, hello, he will emerge from this same group, which, by the way, includes Nephilim infusion within, which he will likely be, as he is a son of perdition, which in Jubilees is a Nephilim prior to the flood. Now, they're not all any of these, but all groups are within. See, they infiltrate. That's how they operate. And then, you know, you call them out and they accuse you of racism, yet you're calling them out. You're not calling out all people that have their skin tone. You're not calling out all people that are even within their religions and, you know, governments and businesses and whatnot. No, you're calling them out. But see, they play that game. They operate in unity in their worldwide aims. In fact, if only Franklin Graham could, well, read, he would never name a ministry after those Samaritans. But he doesn't know. Or does he? We just covered in the last video, watch it if you have not, as this is a two-part segment, not just one. I repeat, there are two videos, and this is part of an entire series. Now, we don't, part 20, in fact, so you're pretty far in, just saying. Now, we don't reprove what we already proved. We build on it. Otherwise, we'd be putting out 20-hour videos, and no one would watch. Duh. Just as we are building on the Lost Tribes series, which builds on our research on Ophir. In Solomon's Gold series, which we published a 384-page book supported by a 300-page source book, The Search for King Solomon's Treasure, because the evidence is so overwhelming. But of course, we didn't even try to prove it. Right. It all matters, and without all of this restored knowledge, by the way, what does he say? In Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. No one will truly understand what is going on, which basically how the modern church has lost not just Ophir, the Garden of Eden, the rivers from Eden, Bethabara, where Messiah was baptized, which is actually modern Qumran, maintained, a Muslim name, in utter fraud. But they will never understand prophecy in the slightest until they do their due diligence. Scholars do not, and we prove it many times over. There are many similarities and exact matches in 2 Esdras 15 and 16 and the book of Revelation. It is amazing. Ezra pinpoints that the end times, Babylon, or Babylon the Great, which migrated all over, as you saw, but its capital is maintained in Asia, not America. So America is not Babylon the Great. And we'll see that throughout many ways, many scriptures, that is illiterate of scripture. Though it does not, it does have Babylonian influences. Indeed, much of the world does now. America disappears from world power, which we have well covered is happening right now. Babylon the Great, the capital of the final eagle head, devours it from within. America shall disappear. And we cover that. That's the title of a video, in fact, within this series. Thus, the Babylonian appearance, obviously, but it will move the worldwide seat to Jerusalem in Asia, which is not Babylon, and Ezra makes this clear. These are the partakers of the hope of Babylon. They're not Babylon, they're partakers of the hope of Babylon, the hope to unite the world. This is a doctrine. This is a religion, Mystery Babylon. Ah, we just want world peace, right? Says the beast. No, thank you. Unity under what rule? Gog of Magog, Satan's number one. This part of Asia, which in Bible terms is really the Near Middle East, and will prove to be so in this case, indisputably. No, we don't just rely on things like that. You'll see. It will carry the glory of her person, Babylon, and the harlot of Babylon. That is she. Just as Israel is not in modern Israel, the people, but scattered among the nations still today with three capital regions of origin after they left Israel. We prove that out in our Lost Tribe series, not in this video. These Babylonians and Persian priests or Pharisees, and we also deal with that in this series with a reference, a Jewish one, in fact, that says that is the case. These Persian priests are Pharisees, it's the same, have done the same. Infused, infiltrated, conquered, taken over most of the world in power at this point. They are the harlot being rebuked who love their luxury lifestyles, or Lucifer lifestyles indeed. This is why Ezra, and this is a quick review, rebukes Babylon with Asia, as he just clarified Asia. Whatever part this is, and it will become clear, is imitating the ancient Babylon, but is not the ancient Babylon. You know, where the Tower of Babel, that's really its origin of the word Babylon, Babel, right? And their empire in modern South Iraq, which is no longer and never will be. It was destroyed and taken over by the Persians, never to rise again. But we follow this people, who are the synagogue of Satan, from where the Nicolaitans derive as well, even in the same country, same place, same areas. But here is a massive clue. Included in this rebuke is Egypt and Syria. Now realize, Egypt, in an end times context, as Babylon, is not physical Egypt necessarily, but those nations which keep the lost tribes and ecclesia captive. Under the beast's rule, really. However, in this passage, this is literal. It's giving us a geographical marker. You will see, and again, that proves out it is accurate as such. Babylon, which is no longer as an empire, is in the Near Middle East now. So what part of the Near Middle East? Well, Ezra's pinpointing between Egypt and Syria. What is that? Israel. Again, that will prove out and vet as accurate. Modern Israel, which is controlled by the powers and allies of Gog, of Magog, whom we identify as Babylon. Babylon the Great. This is a rebuke of Babylon the Great, the capital city of the world, which is Jerusalem. And finally, remember who destroys and fully consumes Babylon the Great with fire from his mouth. Yahusha does. He is in 2nd Esdras, the lion from the wood, who consumes the final eagle empire, including its capital city, Babylon the Great. We know this happens on the Day of Judgment at the end of the Great Tribulation, thus not happening now. And what many are sensing in America, which is evil indeed, is not that. Your nation is being overcome and devoured by this very beast, the final eagle head, who will move your finances and your power to its seat, its new seat in Jerusalem. This has been the ancient aim, even of Columbus and the Pope. It has been for many decades already. And now, let's go to Revelation, which agrees with Ezra, which is its origin, and let's pick it up from there. In chapter 14, we have this mention of Babylon falling. This is prophetic at this time, as the 144,000 have arrived on Mount Zion and sang their anointed song at this point. Yes, we cover them too in this series and its timeline. The angel then flies around the whole earth carrying the gospel message one last time to everyone. Yes, many will ignore an angel, of course, even still. He warns, Babylon, the capital city of the world empire, which at this point dominates the whole earth, one world government of sort, pretty much, will fall. Now, it will be in a future tense, even though this doesn't appear to be interpreted that way. And that's just a fallacy in our opinion, because the interpreters thought it meant that it happens then, yet they're not reading chapter 18, which says it happens then, four chapters later. The worshipers of the beast are even warned. This we prove in our Revelation 12 videos as well, as within this series is the midpoint of the tribulation at the start of the great tribulation after the beast rises from the sea, essentially. Now, he will rule in Babylon the Great, Jerusalem specifically. Thus, it is not destroyed until he is. He will declare he is God in the third temple, which Scripture says will be built for him to do so. Never does it say that Yahuwah said to do so, nor does he require it. He doesn't need it. It will not be his. However, how do you know this is prophecy at this point? Well, because Babylon the Great does not fall until after the Great Tribulation, it can't. The beast rules from there, so it can't fall before the beast even rules. I mean, it's not hard to keep the timeline straight, yet scholars are inept at doing so, and also doing math seems to be a problem for them as well. And just simply reading sometimes. That is recorded in chapter 18, four chapters later here in the same book of Revelation. Following the sequential order of Revelation, which it basically represents, yes, it does skip ahead sometimes, but it tells you when it does and then comes back, and it's very clear that it does. But an angel doesn't decree Babylon's fall twice. That doesn't make sense. So no, in chapter 16, we begin to see the timeline of this fall of Babylon. That's why it is injected there. It is the capital city of the world, and it's flourishing still at that time. It has not fallen. Could not have. Now, we have now progressed to the final stage of the Great Tribulation, to what this passage even is titled in the King James, as the seventh bowl of wrath being poured out, basically. That's seven out of seven. Realize that's the last one, the very end. A once in a world, a lifetime event then occurs. A great earthquake, now not a small one, but one such as was not seen since men were upon the earth. Wow, this is huge. The great city, Babylon the Great, the capital city of the world, is then divided into three, and the cities of the nations then fall. Whoa, we ain't seen anything like this yet, have we? I mean, then every island is gone. Gone! Fled away. No longer. Do you think we'd notice that? I mean, especially us that live on islands? Yeah, we might. Just might. Notice that this happens. Now, some hear of a volcano which causes an island to sink or similar, and then they rile people up, sensationalizing it completely. See, it's Revelation 16, the big one, the great earthquake. Yet they can't read, because when this big one hits, every island, do you see that? Every island and every mountain and basically every city on earth will be toppled. There is no building that is earthquake-proof enough that it will survive this. Wow. Yahuwah doesn't play. And remember, this is the very end. So the events become far more extreme and worldwide. All will be remade new at this time, just coming. We're not far from that in the narrative. And there is hail and plagues here as well. When we progress to chapter 17 of Revelation, we now see the harlot called out as the Great Whore. That's the harlot of Babylon, no doubt. The same ancient goddess whose image they call Mary today. Yes, indeed. Provably, in archaeology, 500 years before Mary was born, done. No one can dispute that. Now, she sits upon many waters, but that can't be modern Israel, can it? We'll see. This is the harlot of materialism and religion both together. And we know Messiah said we cannot serve two masters, right? He saw this dynamic even then. He knew this was coming. You cannot serve Elohim and Mammon, or materialism. Oh, by the way, that's her son, Mammon. You see her in the statue of Irene. We showed you that, her Greek representation, and that was her son, the little curly-head boy, the god of wealth, Plautos in Greek, but Mammon in the Bible. And no, he is not Santo Niño. This is not a mystery. The kings of the earth commit fornication with this harlot, but she has a seat of power in the end, and it is Jerusalem. Now let's look at a map, though. Is Israel a land sitting upon many waters? Does that fit? Indeed, it is. It sits at the crossroads of two continents, with a third very close by. It sits on the Mediterranean Sea, leading to the Atlantic, the Red Sea, leading into the Indian Ocean. It has the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, as well as the Jordan River, which basically surround the whole eastern side of it. It's really sitting on many waters, no doubt. Also, there's other small bodies. So, indeed, it fits. Chapter 17 further describes this harlot of Babylon as sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, with seven heads, which John will explain what they are and what they represent, and 10 horns, and he'll explain that too. She is arrayed in purple and scarlet and luxury goods of abomination. Now, this represents the wealth of the world in a Babylonian banking system, and all the merchants within are drunk with the wine of her fornication. They get temporary wealth, no doubt, but eternal damnation with her. Not good. But wait, names of blasphemy? I mean, what could that be? Modern Israel and Judaism, or Phariseeism, a Babylonian-infused religion, the synagogue of Satan, really, which we've dealt with in great detail in this series, as well as the Pope, Catholicism, a Babylonian-infused religion from the same, known as the Nicolaitans, who eat food sacrificed to idols. In other words, they practice pagan holidays. But do they blaspheme the name? Really? Well, they together remove the name of YHWH, that's the Hebrew, Yahuwah, from the Bible over 6,800 times. How exactly do you forget the name of your God? That is an onslaught and an attack of epic proportion. Now, who would want to? These Babylonians would. They try to hide his name as doctrine, first because he's not their God, and a foundational principle of both of their religions and all of their offshoots, really. And that includes Protestantism. You really, really need to look into the foundations of every doctrine of any denomination that you are in and root out anything that is Catholic or from the synagogue of Satan, and you will find much there in most, if not all. They replace his name with their god Ashima, or in Judaism, Hashem, same root. Oh wait, that was one of the gods of the replacements of the northern tribes of Israel. Imagine that, right there in 2 Kings 17, called out by the Bible, identified very clearly, and here they are going around today, Baruch Hashem. Oh, really? No, thank you. Then the Pope calls him in English, Lord, which, taken back into Hebrew, is essentially the word Baal, which means Lord, Master, Saint. It does mean Lord. Someone tried to debate that. That's stupid. Oh, how nice the Samaritan God once again, and the doctrine even applied in that as Baal is a title or Lord, but he had a name. They did not pronounce it. Same doctrine. And that is in your Bible today. How did that get there? And those are the very synagogue of Satan and the Nicolaitans, the very construct of the final eagle head. And it was Moloch, he's known by similar, you know, derivations of the same. And, he also appears in the replacements as one of their gods in 2 Kings 17 as well. Imagine that. I mean, do scholars even bother to read the Bible? This is right there. But see, they're so ingrained and indoctrinated into Zionism. And that's a problem. They use all kinds of blasphemous names such as Shekinah. We're not going to deal with them all, but just a few on this slide. Shekinah is a Kabbalistic demon goddess. Oh, whom many churches, there's even a song. There's even songs, more than one, invoking the presence of Shekinah glory. Oh, it's so wonderful. She is the ancient goddess, the harlot of Babylon in demonic form, essentially. And maybe not so good to invite her into your service. Maybe look for the origin of such a word since it doesn't originate in the Bible. And you'll even see commentaries that go and take the word glory and say, that's Shekinah. No, Shekinah comes from Kabbalah, not from the Bible. That word for glory is never Shekinah. It does not exist. So that is fraud, even in interpretation. She is the ancient goddess, the harlot of Babylon, essentially. So they changed his son's name, even, to Jesus. That's a word that cannot even be rendered in ancient Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Latin, Old French, Old German, nor Old English. All infused, in the 1500s or so, with Yiddish by the Synagogue of Satan when it migrated into Europe. Essentially adding a J, and also they add a V, which is not there on any of the Qumran scrolls. Doesn't exist, nor any ancient writing for that matter, not truly ancient. But what about these colors? Purple and scarlet. What about that? Purple or blue, though originally purple, is the color of modern Israel, which is Gog of Magog today, since 1918, really, especially 1948 to 1952. We've covered that in this series in detail. Not biblical Israel, who is scattered among the nations today. But wouldn't you know this purple or blue? Oh, what's that, a six-pointed star? Well, it not only originates in Babylon as the very symbol, six and eight-pointed star, both, of the harlot of Babylon. Imagine that. How about it? And did you know this star never originates in biblical Israel? There's no such thing. In fact, the Bible doesn't really have symbols. That's the occult. Whenever you see symbols, including the cross is an ancient occult symbol. You can trace back to the days of Nimrod. Sorry, but it's fact. The rebellious and Samaritans or Babylonians worshipped a star. Righteous Israel never had any such symbol. Ever. This star, the occult magic symbol, as above, so below, basically two pyramids of Kabbalah, not the Bible, is never associated with David nor Solomon in any sense, only in the occult, and it is a lie. This symbol, however, for modern Israel originates in the Russian steppes, where it was not purple. Oh, but what color was it? Well, wait. She is known for scarlet and purple. Oh, wait. Did you know that the star used, the crest from much of the Russian steppes, is a red or scarlet six-pointed star, including, well, the very banking family named for it, because the name, they were called the Bowers, but their new name they picked when they went to Germany was Rothschild. Rothschild, Red Shield. And their symbol is the red six-pointed star. They brought that from the Russian steppes. So here you have the scarlet and the purple. It's right there. This is the representation of the purple and scarlet, indeed, in which the scarlet is clothed. I mean, it's even on a flag in both areas, in red in the Russian steppes and in purple, now blue, in Israel. It's there on her ancient flag and seal in the Russian steppes in scarlet. Now, no wonder she is rebuked for her sorcery, because there you have a perfect example of how she tries to hide. But what about materialism? I mean, the harlot trades with the world, especially luxury goods, it appears. I mean, when you look at the list, when you look at everything, these are luxury goods. That's what we'd consider them today. Could that be modern Israel? Well, remember, number one, Jews, especially those within this cult of 1666 from Shabbatai Sebi, we've discussed, the ones who are the bankers and pawnbrokers, power brokers as well, merchants, they are all over the world. They're not just in Israel. Many don't live in Israel, in fact. This entire system, even the media, Hollywood, etc., run by Jews, very disproportionately. Not the average Jew. The average Jew has no more chance than you or I of succeeding in this grossly racist structure. I mean, it's grossly so and overtly racist in nature. On such a scale, it is almost unbelievable, yet fact. And here they are the lawyers most of the time. So, you know, you get the ADL would go after someone for what they do every day, and they do it on a far more gross scale. But watch modern Israel. In 2010, it was ranked 32nd in top world economies. Little old Israel. Now, given its size, basically the size of the state of New Jersey, that is incredible. And a true measure that would qualify size would really make it far higher on this list. But look at what is happening now. The transfer of wealth is underway. Israel is now 19th from 32nd. As of 2020, on this list of top global economies. That's not just a doubling. This is greatly compounded as you rise on the list. This transfers on a personal level as well. But let's be clear. These are globalists, and their aim is to unify the world. Just go look up their foundations. That's what they fund. That's what they do. And it's all under the rule of the beast. From Jerusalem. No, the beast hasn't risen yet, but his system has. Even on Forbes' individual list of the world's richest people, 6 out of the top 10, and likely others who have such bloodlines or affiliations, whether one can prove it or not, because many actually look at some of these others and say, I'm pretty sure he has Jewish bloodlines, but it doesn't matter. We don't need to get into that kind of stuff. They're Jews. Again, this does not impugn all Jews. That's not what that's about. It's not about that. These are all of the 1666 cult within Jewry. Otherwise, they wouldn't make it to that kind of power. Those are the ones given such power and wealth. And there are those, such as the Rothschilds, who never appear on this list, who are far wealthier than all of these combined. In fact, they fund these, largely. Now, these are their puppets. I mean, look at Bill Gates. He's an absolute puppet. I mean, it's just nonsensical that he's out there telling people, you know, oh, you need to take the vaccine and hyping the virus, yet at the same time, He's a manufacturer of the vaccine. Is the media really that stupid that they would allow such a conflict of interest? Well, yeah, they are, but they're controlled by the same, of which he and they are puppets. Warren Buffett, all the same. Firmly puppets. In fact, did you know Bill Gates' grandfather was the head of one of the regional Federal Reserve banks? Ha! A lot of people don't know that. When the world population of Jews is only 0.2%, and they account for 60% of the wealthiest on earth, it is clear they aren't smarter than anyone else. They are better positioned because of their bloodline and allegiances. Absolute complete racism. This is not new, but it is the worst of racism in history. No one ever talks about that. Anyone calling them out is an anti-Semite, yet they are the racist, the most racist of all peoples, proven right there by their own list. Back to Revelation 17. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Think of an abomination and her name should come up. This is the same as the 1666 cult, who decided they wanted to take the opposite evil position on all things and create chaos by which their Messiah, the beast of Revelation, of course, will rise from the ashes to power. And he will. Oh, he will, but they will lose, and they will be consumed. I mean, it's right there, folks, written on her forehead even. Broadcasted for those who are willing to seek it out. And what does she do? She is drunken with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Yahushua, and also the prophets we see later. Now, she is a murderer, and her factions, the Synagogue of Satan and the Nicolaitans, modern Judaism, modern Israel, and the Catholic Church, the Vatican. Again, not all Catholics, not all Jews, no. Those at the top have done so in mass since ancient times. This is well-recorded history. Since their inceptions, and even before, as the Samaritans who did the same. These all tie. Babylon the Great remains and continues the same behavior. We can follow their fruits. Also, this beast was and is not, and yet is. So, was in power, disappeared from power, and is restored to power. What does this mean? Well, the Pope's temporal worldwide power was vast at one time in history. And remember, the Jewish Jesuit order is really the power behind the Catholic Church today, and that is their aim, to restore that temporal power, in writing, written many, many, many times over. Well, it remains so behind the scenes indeed. However, this power was, and then it appeared, to lose its power. And again, Ezra says the same of the Eagle Empire. Same thing, it's all there. It was an appearance, but regardless, this temporal power will be restored in the beast that rises from the sea for the Pope, the scarlet beast, the wolf in sheep's clothing, whom will cause the world to worship the beast from the sea, who is the Assyrian of the same conglomerate. See, it all ties. The Synagogue of Satan. These are the same. Now, the seven heads are seven mountains or hills on which the woman sitteth. Now, the woman is the harlot of Babylon, whose capital is Babylon the Great, Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, in power, was and was not, yet is. So it also fits that same dynamic as the Pope's power. But this could not possibly identify Jerusalem for seven hills. Oh, wait a minute. Did you know Jerusalem has, well, seven hills, seven mountains, just like Constantinople in modern Turkey, Istanbul, just like the Vatican, and just like Mecca. It's as if they're obsessed with fulfilling this prophecy. The beast just loves him some seven hills. She rides the scarlet beast, and that is the Catholic Church, also known for their scarlet and purple priesthood in cardinals and bishops, etc., who places her in the, well, Mary doctrine at the very center of their worship, above Messiah and really elevated to godhood status. Just read it. Go read the Mary doctrine for yourself. Catholics, if you haven't read it, then, you know, you stop being ignorant and read, because your own doctrine tells you Mary is a god. Sorry, but that's what it says. And she is not. That is the ancient harlot of Babylon, who is no god and heaven has no queen. It places her above Messiah, whom they do not worship, nor do they know, nor do they care. They will explain away every rebuke, yet they represent the harlot, period. Let's not forget, the Jesuit order is the Jewish or Pharisee order within the Catholic Church, which truly runs it. The ten horns are ten kings, but let's be clear here. No one knows whom they are, as they are a future, and they have not received a kingdom yet. So no, no one knows, and anyone that tries to say they do is just plain guessing, because there's no way that they can know. These have not been given a kingdom, and very well a new one is carved out for them that fits this beast. Then we enter chapter 18 of Revelation, which now Babylon the Great falls. Now, four chapters later, this is very late in the Great Tribulation at the end. It's certainly not yet, and we even prove out the whole timeline, in fact, which occurs in about a century. Watch parts 9 through 11 of this series, and we do prove it. As stated before, the merchants of the earth waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies, luxuries. However, remember, she is also a religion, the synagogue of Satan, and all of its offshoots in the Catholic Church. To this, heaven says, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins." If you are Catholic, come out of her, my people. If you are a Catholic Protestant of the same foundation, in which Martin Luther was merely protesting, but the same religion, called Protestantism. My friends, come out of her, my people. If you are in Judaism, Messianic even, come out of her, my people. Islam, come out of her, my people. These are all the harlot of Babylon and more. She controls the religions of the earth as well as commerce. If you have her statue called, well, Mary, erroneously, in your home, come out of her, my people. Be blessed instead. End this curse, which especially the Philippines has been experiencing for four generations or over 400 years, as warned in Exodus 20. This is a serious issue Isaiah well lays out over many chapters, even defining that the Philippines specifically, Ophir Sheba Tarshish, has such issue in the end times. Get rid of this harlot and end her reign in your life. In any way, that includes materialism. Yes, Americans, come out of her, my people. You don't need stuff. You don't need her. You need him. For she will receive double unto her double. That sounds like four times in punishment, really, if we're looking at that right. You do not want any association with this harlot. Now, how is she destroyed? Ezra does make reference to essentially terrorists of sort, the dragons of Arabia, who do attack her as well and cause her to fear. But they withdraw back into, and it even says, old Babylon or Iraq, which is consistent with what we see on the news in recent
times. Imagine that. However, it is Messiah who will consume the harlot, her city, Babylon the Great, her religion, Mystery Babylon, including the synagogue of Satan, modern Judaism or Phariseeism, and the Nicolaitans, the Catholic Church, as well as her offshoots called Protestantism, among others. Come out of her, my people. She will be burned with eternal fire, and she will never be again. She loses. Again, this is the end. That's not now. We're not there yet. These merchants, whom she made rich, will bewail her in lament. They'll cry. They will see the smoke of her burning, and from their ships you'll see. You ever seen a wildfire, by the way? You see it, the smoke of it, for many miles or kilometers. Not the fire, but the smoke. And that's what this says. When this entire city, which will grow even beyond what it is now likely, it's probably really going to expand, is destroyed with fire. The merchants will see this from the Mediterranean and the Red Sea from their ships indeed. And one incredible fact we don't have time to prove out in this video, but our friends over at Parable of the Vineyard do an excellent job with this. This resource list of the harlot of Babylon matches that of the first temple from the days of Solomon. Wow. Is there nothing this harlot will not defile? Well, no. She'll defile everything she possibly can. Why Israel? Why Jerusalem? Because Yahuwah chose Jerusalem at one time to set up his physical presence there in the Ark of the Covenant at one time. That is why she must defile it, just as she defiled Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia through Islam, and continues to, until this day, even trying to hide it from the public. Oh, how they will weep and wail for her. Why? She made them rich. But also, in doing so, in serving her, they are rejecting Yahusha. They are his enemy. They also know their end is about to occur as well. And they recognize this is a power they cannot defeat. As we said, the shipmaster, the sailors, stood afar off watching the destruction. Seeing what? The smoke of this disaster when the harlot is destroyed. Babylon the Great. They cry when they see the smoke of her burning, which they will see from the sea. Revelation further defines she is known for luxury goods, especially. You may not know the luxury industry very well. That's okay if you don't. But that is one thing I definitely know personally. Very well, as I come from the luxury publishing side of things. Israel and the Jews, essentially, worldwide, are firmly at the center of the luxury market. They are not only the customers, the consumers, but the interior designers, the manufacturers, the investors behind such, even when they're not. They drive that industry, no doubt. And that is the harlot of Babylon. That I left for that reason. When Revelation uses this term, great city, it refers to only one place throughout. Did you know that? In 14, Babylon the Great is that great city. In 16, the great city. 18:10, that great city of Babylon. See, all the same. Verse 16, that great city. Verse 18, this great city. Verse 19, that great city. And verse 21, that great city, Babylon. Babylon the Great is not a country and could not be America anyway. It is the capital city of the world for the third and final eagle head, which is not America. America will be devoured by it, and is right now. The final empire to the end when it is destroyed by Messiah. This is pretty plain and hard to miss, yet check this out. Wow, this is cool. In Revelation 11, the two witnesses appear in Jerusalem, firmly, no question, that's where they appear, in what Revelation calls the great city. That's Jerusalem. This isn't hard, folks. It is called, in this passage, spiritual Sodom and Egypt, and what happened to those in history. Now you'll understand why. Sodom was destroyed by fire and brimstone, just as Babylon the Great will be Jerusalem. Egypt was decimated, especially by plagues, and so will Babylon the Great, Jerusalem, both in judgment by Yahuwah. Are we sure this is Jerusalem, though? Well, physical Jerusalem? Why, yes, we are, and here's why. This is where our Lord Yahusha was crucified. Now, where was that? That was physical Jerusalem. That's where. Yes, outside the city, perhaps, yet still part of it. Same metro area, so don't play that game in comments. We've had people try that. This great city, Jerusalem, is the same great city throughout Revelation as Babylon. Now, in the very end, New Jerusalem comes down from heaven, and still, it's called that great city. Now, that is after the earth is cleansed, so Babylon is gone. And this is the new great city of the new era of the righteous, so adequately and appropriately titled. This is so obvious, yet missed by so many. Isaiah the prophet even nailed this. He speaks, he says, concerning Jerusalem. See that in verse 1. He equates it just as Revelation to Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a prophecy of the end and the exact same as Revelation. See, there's a second witness. Then in verse 21, he defines that what once was the faithful city of Jerusalem. Well, that's what he said. He's the one writing here. Has become the harlot. The harlot of Babylon. The harlot of abominations. This is in the very end he's talking about. The harlot of idolatry, found in the Catholic Church and Judaism to this day, in fact. Remember, that's her star, not biblical Israel. They even have it in purple and scarlet throughout their history. Imagine that. Who are they in the end? They are the murderers. That's what Isaiah says. But Isaiah also prophesies, and we'll leave Isaiah after this, but of what happens just as Revelation, Yahuwah will turn his hand upon them and purely purge away the dross. Yahusha, his right hand, as we saw in Esdras, well-defined, will consume them with fire from his mouth. His judges, and let us not overlook, that requires law. Sorry. But the law has always been and always will be. Will be restored. Oops. Now, what do you do with that? It's obvious. Everyone who can read knows what that is saying. That's his form of governance. That's the way he set it up with Moses. That is not. In fact, if you look at what the prophet says, when Israel says, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king, it even says, you know, your grandchildren are going to be slaves to this king. That's pretty much what he's saying in modern English context. So not anything we see today, which is Babylonian government. Once again, Jerusalem, or New Jerusalem, will be the city of righteousness and the faithful city once again. She will be purified and the harlot and all her followers gone. Zion will be redeemed. How? With judgment by fire on the day of judgment. See, Isaiah knew this. The destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. See, they are destroyed at once by Messiah. They that forsake Yahuwah shall be consumed by Yahusha with eternal fire. Wow. Almost done. Let's skip to verse 23. This harlot deceived the nations. How? By thy sorceries were the nations deceived. That's Kabbalah, folks. Mystery Babylon. And oh, by the way, sorcery in the Bible is known as pharmakia many times, which is the origin, the root of pharmacy. Drugs. Drugs. Think about it. Now, and I'm not talking about recreational illegal drugs. I'm talking about legal ones. The pharmaceutical companies and what they're peddling. Think about that. So Mystery Babylon religion, or what we call Judaism of the Synagogue of Satan, and its Nicolaitan cult called the Catholic Church, and of course its cult it established called Islam, and all those other cults they have established, including Protestantism largely, not all, but most, she killed the prophets, the saints, the martyrs, and she is the final head of the Eagle Empire. It is this Mystery Babylon that goes back to very ancient times, and it is responsible for the deaths of all of these. Now let's recap. I'm going to blow through this so it doesn't take too long. Physical Babylon, the empire, is long gone, never to rise again. Yet Babylon, these people, this sect or cult, continued according to scripture. In the end, it is transferred to Asia, or the near Middle East, Jerusalem. Yahuwah hates her and her inventions. Come out of her, my people. Ezra equates Babylon the Great in the end times, the world capital city, as between Egypt and Syria, which is modern Israel. And it will be a city, the capital city, Jerusalem. It is represented by her star, and we see that today, the six-pointed star of Ishtar, or Easter. Oh, did I say that? Yeah, that's how you pronounce it. And that is where that holiday comes from. And the worship that includes her star is hers, not Yahuwah's, and he hates it. It is known throughout Revelation as the Great City, always Jerusalem, Israel physically. And then at the very end, heavenly Jerusalem comes down called the Great City. Appropriately, and Babylon's gone at that point. And it is the ancient holy city. We know its timeline as it is destroyed after the seventh bowl. Anyone time warping and speculation has no opinion worth listening to. They have to get it right. It is destroyed after the great earthquake in which every isle is moved from its place and every mountain. If you've experienced that, Mr. Prophet, lay off the drugs because it ain't happened yet. It sits upon many waters, and modern Israel certainly does fit that. It is a city upon seven mountains, and indeed, that fits Jerusalem, Israel, as well as Mecca, Constantinople, or modern Istanbul, Turkey, and the Vatican, all places of power for this harlot and her religion of mystery, Babylon, really identifying all of them. The world and her kings are drunk with the wine of her fornication of materialism and idol worship. She sits on the scarlet-colored beast, the Vatican, and the false prophet, the beast who rises from the earth. She is arrayed in purple and scarlet. The modern Israel flag, originally purple, now blue, but the same. And that star and flag originates in the Russian steppes in the color scarlet or red. The Catholic cardinals and bishops also arrayed in purple and scarlet. These together form the final eagle head, easily identified. She is known for extreme wealth, and that leads to a people, a cult within the Jews, who certainly embody such. Still leads to modern Israel and Jews, not all Jews, just those at the top of the chain. Same in Catholicism among the Jesuits, the Jewish order. full of names of blasphemy, and we covered many ways in which this specifically fits the synagogue of Satan and the Catholic Church, who together even hide his name, removing from modern Bibles over 6,800 times. In Ezekiel 39, after Gog of Magog's forces are destroyed, which fits Babylon the Great as well, fully, is destroyed, Yahuwah says, they will never profane my holy name again. That's Jerusalem. In fact, he says that in Jerusalem at that point. She is drunken with the blood of the martyrs from the time of Messiah, when her people, Babylon, the Samaritans who attacked, and the temple, the Pharisees, and origin of the Catholic Church, hunted and killed, or had killed, one or the other, the ecclesias, especially in Turkey. Now, we see it in the Crusades, the Inquisitions, colonialism, communism, and it continues today. In the Great Tribulation, it will be even worse. But same factions and same harlot, easily identified by this fruit. She rides the beast of seven heads, mountains, and ten horns, leaders who do not have a territory yet. This beast she rides was and is not, yet is. That is the Catholic Church, and the Jesuit aim is to restore that temporal worldwide power of the Pope. And they will. And then they will fall, all of them. She trades with the world, making those merchants very rich. All of industry truly dominated by this cult of Jewry and Jesuits, who are Jews of the same Kabbalistic ilk. Not the average Jew, but the cult within. She is a religion and economy. Not just one religion, she has infused into many, and many of which she created. You will find those fruits there, so you can recognize her. She and her city, the capital of the world, the one world government, economy, and religion, will be consumed with fire from Messiah. The kings of the earth bewail her and lament at her destruction, and they know theirs is coming. The merchandise of the temple construction are copied by her. She profanes all things godly, including Jerusalem, once the holy city, now the harlot. She deceives the nations by her sorceries, Kabbalah, mystery, Babylon, religion, as well as drugs, pharmakia. She killed the prophets, saints, the martyrs throughout history, and especially in the end. This fruit follows the Catholic Church and modern Israel in great number. Yeah, you see it in Islam and others as well, no doubt. And finally, she has and corrupts the world through her abundance of delicacies, luxury. This is a common thread you see throughout our cities around the world today for good reason. Whoa, that's a lot. But there you go. Is Babylon the Great America? No way. That is illiterate to scripture. We see this in so-called prophecy interpretation often. Someone sets up a false test in foundation, which is what this is in paradigm, to start, and then they say, well, see, it fits our paradigm. Yet scripture sets its own paradigm, especially in this. It does not need theirs. It defines this city, and it is a city they try to redefine as a nation, to try to make theirs work. It's not about a nation, but the capital city of the world. This is a one-world government, an empire of the entire world. Let's not forget that. That is Jerusalem, the city, the capital city. Not America, nor any other city for that matter. None fit. Yes, we find Babylonian elements all over the world, especially in the second eagle head of the U.S., which in a sense is a migration in power of this Babylonian cult indeed, no doubting. But it is not in the end, and it is not Babylon the Great. The final eagle head is rising right now, consuming the U.S. Keep your eye on Jerusalem, which will become the very world capital of this head, the final eagle empire. It will last to the end, about a century from now. We prove that out. And much of this in our previous videos in this series and even in our Lost Tribes series, we track this very well, especially where we locate the actual Lost Tribes of Israel in their principal regions, which are three, and none of which include these Babylonian and Pharisees who migrate to the Russian steppes and into Europe and all over the world from there, as we've tracked. The Bible tracks both. In fact, watch Psalm 83, War, Gog of Magog, Who Defiled the Temple? And awesome video along with that, the Hanukkah hoax. We have been on this track for years now and have well proven it. Jerusalem is Babylon the Great in the end, home of the harlot of Babylon today with her religion of mystery, Babylon. And it is rising as the capital city, the very seat of worldwide power for this final one world government right now. It is time to prepare. Don't think you can wait. Just look at this COVID response and you see her flexing her muscle already. It's time. Prepare. We hope all have learned from this impactful video and they will restore Yahusha's ways in a true relationship with him, which is what this is all about. We have over 350 videos on this channel, many just as profound, with some 50 or so in Tagalog for Filipinos. And now we have, I think, 5, maybe 6 in Spanish to start. Don't forget to like and subscribe and click the bell for notifications of new uploads. Join our email list, as YouTube fails to notify often, and we will notify you ourselves at thegodculture.com. Just fill in the pop-up there. And friend us on Facebook at thegodculture _original. We now have 5 books published internationally being read in now over 100 countries, with our new release now available, Rest, the 400-plus page case for Sabbath, an important thing to restore in your life. If you have never reviewed this case, we encourage you to do so. Just go to ophirinstitute.com for all the links for your area for each of the books. Thank you for watching. Now always remember, prove all things for yourself. Yah bless to everyone. In 400 BC, the prophet Ezra predicted, "For my son Yahushua shall be revealed with those that be with him, and they that remain shall rejoice within 400 years." Essentially, 0 BC, the era Messiah was born, and by his very name, in exactness. "After these years shall my son Messiah die, and all men that have life." The origin of John 3:16. "And the time shall be when these things shall come to pass, and the signs shall happen which I showed you before. And then shall my son be declared, whom you saw as a man ascending." Even the end times are defined long before the book of Revelation, the Son of Elohim being confessed in the world. After 7 days, the world will be raised up. Mass resurrection of those who are asleep. The judgment seat. Evil will disappear. The Lion of Yehuda will consume the final empire, consuming his enemies with fire from his mouth. The lost tribes return. Every eye shall see him, handing out crowns and giving palms. The road to salvation is a narrow gate. Few are saved. The Garden of Eden and the Tree of Life are opened in the end. He is not willing that any should perish. The signs of the end times and origin of Matthew 24 in part. These are just some of the many prophecies in the book of 2 Esdras, long before the book of Revelation was conceived. 2 Esdras, written before John's revelation. This is the interpretation of the dream which you saw, and whereby you only are here lightened. For you have forsaken your own way, and applied your diligence unto my law, and sought it. That's Yahuwah speaking to the prophet Ezra. 2 Esdras is dated at least 1st century B.C., as it is used to interpret Habakkuk and blessing of the prince of the congregation who is Messiah. This includes a radiocarbon dating testing as well of one fragment from 120 to 5 B.C. We cover this in the introduction. This book includes 1st Esdras as well, which is also dated to the 1st century B.C., when one examines what is called in fraud the Proto-Esther fragments from the Dead Sea Scrolls, which do not remotely fit Esther, but are a match to 1st Esdras. We cover this in the introduction of this book, as well as on our YouTube videos on Esther in the original canon series. 2 Esdras was quoted by Messiah according to the original authorized 1611 King James Version. Matthew 23, 37 and 38 is a direct quote from 2 Esdras, which is anchored right there in the margin note as the origin of Messiah's words. For Esdras is 2 Esdras, which we explain in the introduction. Yes, he quoted 2 Esdras multiple times. When accurately dated, 2 Esdras proves the origin of significant doctrine in the New Testament. We cover many such instances in the introduction. There is a reason why these two books remain in some Bible canons to this day. They test as inspired scripture. Test them for yourself. Get your copy now, free in ebook. Again, this content is free. If you would like it in print, it is available on Amazon internationally and Shopee Philippines. Just go to 2esdras.org. Download the ebook, and the links are there for your area.